We'd like to welcome you to Allegheny Baptist Church, and we are continuing in our series in Corinthians. Our text this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 24, which I'm going to read in your hearing at this time. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk, and so I direct in all the churches. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. A circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. As we read this text, we should pay careful attention to what has been written, but also what has not been written. Paul has not said that all Christians should be rich or that God wants us to be rich. He was single, and he used that status to serve God rather than provide for and worry about a wife. But he does not say all Christians should be single, nor does he say all Christians should be married. Further, God will not necessarily send all of us to the foreign field, for the fields are white unto harvest right where we are. Paul was a missionary. He traveled all over the Roman world, but he did not command all Christians leave their homes and familiar surroundings to become missionaries. Rather, he wants each Christian to be a missionary right where they are. The thread that runs through this portion is to be content. We are saved by grace of God through faith in Christ, are all born again into varying circumstances, time of life, country, government, social condition, family ties, and responsibility, along with financial status. And Paul states several times, we should be content to serve God in the status in which we were called. God has called us where we were and as we were to come into the family of God. Further, the church is not here called to be an instrument of social change in society, but rather the church is to be the instrument of individual change, one person at a time. When an individual is called, he or she is not to run off and join a convent or a monastery to serve God, but should be willing to serve God as they are and where they are. Some out of the local church will travel to other countries to be missionaries. Some will help to support them on the field. But all are missionaries in some respect. As I said earlier, it's not more spiritual to be rich, nor has God called all of us to be rich in material things. We have been made rich in spiritual things through Christ. Just as it's not more spiritual to be rich, it's not more spiritual to be poor, although poor people often learn to lean on God due to their lack of resources. It's spiritual to serve God in the condition in which you were saved, and it does take resources to do this. Preaching, teaching, helping those in need, and sacrifice in meeting those goals is both individual and corporate for members of the church. and for the church as a body. Whether we give of our time, our talents and ability, or our money, we are to give and to be willing to give. Paul said he was willing to spend and to be spent. The church is instructed to give and to sacrifice to spread the gospel and to help the poor, and the church is commended when it does so. The church is not instructed to seek or command the sacrifice of those outside the church to help the poor. And Paul says he directs in all the churches that men should walk in the manner that they were called by God. He uses circumcision as an example and says, whether called when circumcised or uncircumcised, do not seek to change that. Thus, the Jew is not to imitate the Gentile, nor is the Gentile to imitate the Jew. Both can serve and engage in ministry. The saved Jew could go to the synagogue and speak to other Jews, as Paul often did. Now, this was an avenue of ministry that was closed to the Gentile. But the Gentile could go to his friends and relatives and preach or teach, where a Jew most likely would not be welcome. Both could work in their own circles where they would understand those to whom they were speaking. Each one of us today has a circle of friends and acquaintances where we are known, whether in our neighborhood, at our work, or in various practices or hobbies we enjoy. We can speak in this circle to people who know us and have some similar interests and experiences. Whether circumcised or not is not important, but in verse 19, we see what is important is keeping the commandments of God. For our change takes place in the inner man, and this change, which cannot be seen by the world, becomes visible in a thousand different manifestations in life. Like a city on a hill or a lamp on a lampstand, it cannot be hidden. Difference is key in the Christian life, and such difference will be seen and noted wherever you go. Thus, the Christian who tries to just blend in will soon have problems and issues with various sinful practices that are common in the world. And our blender will soon face the choice of going into sin to blend in or refusing to do so, which is going to set him apart from his fellows. My advice is to embrace the difference. That's what you are. That's who you are. Of course, Paul did not advise to stay in a sinful lifestyle if saved out of that, for elsewhere he commands that those who formerly stole should steal no longer, but do good work with their hands to provide for their own needs and have something to share with others who are in need. While the Christian is to minister in the condition in which he was saved, keeping the commandments of God is the change that is here expected. And so the lifestyle of the saved person is different, even if he stays in the circumstances in which he was saved. Often such change causes a good deal of question and interest in the eyes of his contemporaries, or even a certain amount of conflict. Now, we have to remember the context of this letter to the Corinthians. Some of the Corinthians were discontented with their marital status. Perhaps they wanted to go from married to single, or single to married, or perhaps they wanted to change an unbelieving spouse for a believing spouse. Some married Christians were considering a celibate lifestyle, while slaves who may have had a Christian master were pushing for freedom, and they might even have been considering running away to secure freedom. Now, Jesus promised that if we abide in his word, then we will be disciples of his. We will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. This is Christian freedom, but many do not understand we are free to please God and not free to do anything and everything we want to do. So the Christian can function in any kind of a society or government, like flower seeds scattered abroad. The Christian is to take root and blossom in the place where they're planted. Paul speaks to slaves in verse 21. If you're saved as a slave, he advises, don't worry about it. You can be a Christian whether free or slaves. Slaves were considered to be at the absolute bottom of society, and the idea that a slave could serve God and show the power and love of God was a new and revolutionary idea at that time. A slave could have a good testimony and have an effect on the household and the master right where he was serving. A slave could make a difference by being different. And Paul goes on to say, if you're called as a slave, you are the Lord's freeman. And if called while free, you are the Lord's slave. Now, some have been critical of Paul for not opposing slavery, but slavery was ingrained in the fabric of society of his time and had been practiced from time immemorial. Neither Paul nor his contemporaries ever knew a world without slavery. Various estimates put the percentage of slaves in the Roman Empire as high as 50%. These were not just laborers in the fields and the mines. When cities fell before Rome, the army considered the captured people as spoil of the battle and an asset. Those with education or skills were highly valued. Conquered cities had populations enslaved, so formerly free people became slaves. Many of them were trained craftsmen, doctors, teachers, accountants, other professionals. Now, these skilled people were often treated well in slavery and had a good life, although we know unskilled people who were sent to work in mines or in the agriculture had a very hard life. What if there was some way to have snapped our fingers and ended slavery in the ancient world? In all cases of war, when a city was conquered, something had to be done with the people who survived the war. Now, we should stop and think a minute. If the enemy city was conquered and the remaining population wasn't taken away for slavery, in order to stop that city from future rebellion, so as to not have to go fight for the same city again, the population would have probably been put to the sword. In that respect, slavery must be seen as the better alternative for the ancient world and their practices. Now, since there were slaves in the church, that particular institution of slavery had to be dealt with. In the church, slaves worshiped on an equal basis with free people, but then they had to leave the church service and go back to their status as slaves. Naturally, this was hard for them. The church service was a little taste of freedom, and of course, many slaves had been free at one point in their lives. Paul taught that slaves were to give good and honest service to their owners. They were to work as to the Lord. And here, as perhaps nowhere else in the ancient world, the difference that salvation made in a person would really stand out. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul advises slaves to work as slaves of Christ and do the will of God from the heart. In a culture where slaves were considered lazy, shiftless, and prone to steal in any opportunity, an honest slave would make an impression. Notice that Paul also says that if the slave is able to become free, rather do that. So Paul never says that a slave should always be a slave, or that it's God's will that they are a slave, or that it's God's will that they remain a slave. If an option to freedom is open, Paul says, take it. It was certainly not more spiritual to remain a slave if there was a chance to become free. The slave who cannot become free is still the Lord's freeman. He is free from the curse of sin and death. Because of this, he is free from judgment and condemnation. He's become adopted into the family of God. As for those in the church who are not slaves, Paul reminds them they are slaves of Christ. We are bought with a price out of the slave market of sin, and having been purchased, we now have a new owner. That owner is Christ. And Paul then advises those who have been bought with a price not to become slaves of men. This would have to do with those who are currently free, and thus those who have been saved and are free in Christ should not seek out bondage, either to men or philosophies of men or institutions of men or products of men. You've been made free, so remain free. Don't go back into bondage. For the modern church, members should be advised not to become slaves of things in our modern world: debt, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, or even everyday things like jobs or politics or possessions. Are you obsessed by such things? Is that what you think about? Is that what your conversation is about? Don't become enslaved to such things. Most anything can become so important to the Christian that it's a hindrance to service and the Christian life. And if it's that important, it's too important. For if these things occupy your mind on a continuing basis, these are the things that you serve. Paul states again that each man should remain with God in the condition in which he was called. And thus, the saved person stays and is content to stay in the condition they were in when saved. This would include social condition, being single or married, and other circumstances. And so, we leave sin behind and continue on as we were. Our benediction this morning we take from 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen.